greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to talk about the political process so far, the presidential primaries and who's in, who's out, and some of the news that's sort of fascinating. In studio, I have Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Bob.
It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here, as always.
Thank you. The big news from last night, the Super Tuesday 2, is that Mike Huckabee is out, and that means that now John McCain is the Republican nominee.
Ho-hum.
Ho-hum. Okay, I think that's a perfect analysis. Ho-hum. He is certainly not a pro-lifer that, you know, that we can get excited about. In fact, he's not a pro-lifer. But he will satisfy National Right to Life, but that's not our standard. Our standard is he pro-life? And it's sad that he's not, and he finds all kinds of ways to allocate tax money to kill unborn children, and he does that recently, consistently, still, even in his own position statements and all. So John McCain is the pro-choice Republican candidate for president, and Mike Huckabee is out. Okay. Then how about on the Democratic side? Any hope there?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
Yeah, we have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
It looks like there's a lot of pro-death candidates out there, Bob.
A lot of pro-death candidates. Some of them are pro-choice with exceptions, like McCain. Pro-choice with exceptions. But pretty much pro-death. Of course, still in the Republican race is Alan Keyes. Now, nobody even knows he's running, but he's still in the race. He hasn't bowed out yet. And Ron Paul. And Ron Paul did win re-election to his congressional seat from down at Corpus Christi. Down on the coast of Texas. So he won re-election, and that's sad because of the few tens of thousands of people who voted for him. Many of those, probably half, are people who consider themselves strong pro-life Christians.
That's right. There's a lot of education that needs to go on, but you're doing a lot toward making that happen.
We really are, and American Right to Life Action is going to town. In fact, the president of that, Steve Curtis, just recorded an interview today with Kevin Swanson.
Oh, good.
You know Kevin Swanson,
right?
I do.
Great guy.
Yep. The Christian Home Educators of Colorado, the director of that organization. And Kevin has a radio show that airs on this station, KLTT, AM 670, out of Denver, 50,000-watt station. And that's going to air the interview with Steve Curtis Friday morning at 8:30.
Oh, that's good. Steve does such a great job every time he's on
radio. He really does.
Analysis is just so enlightening.
Yeah, and they talk through the issue, the partial birth abortion fiasco, and the difference between American Right to Life and national, and the difference between regulating child killing and standing up for personhood, the Colorado Personhood Amendment, which is going strong, the petition gathering effort. So Steve Curtis, that's great. He'll be there. But we are, with American Right to Life and Bob Inyart Live, we are working to educate Christians about what is broken, godless, and immoral about the Libertarian Party. And, oh, my, look at that note. Look at that note.
Oh, what's, my.
Leslie, what's that? Our call screener just gave us some information.
I was actually telling the secretary mother's. Of Bob Inyart Live.
Connie Sharon.
Yes, and I mentioned the name of a gentleman in Indianapolis who I had lunch with last week. And
yeah. What's his first name, anyway?
Rudy.
Rudy just gave a $1,000 donation to Bob Inyart Live.
That is so awesome. He is a wonderful family man. He has a little toddler that is just cuter than could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but it'll come to me. And then his wife is expecting their second, and
wow.
He really likes Bob Inyart Live.
All right, and you know what? Maybe our call screener could get him on the show.
Oh, that would be so neat.
Okay, let's try it.
Then he can probably remind me of the name of his little cute little toddler, because I've forgotten.
Hello?
This is
Leslie. Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hi,
Rudy. Doing wonderful.
Rudy.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome to Bob Inyart Live with me and Leslie Hanks. You just gave $1,000 to BEL.
Yeah.
If we put it toward the telethon, that's $21,200. We do have to end the telethon eventually, right?
Yeah.
So $21,200.
Oh, that's up a lot from last week, Bob. That's
great. It's very encouraging how wonderful our listeners are, because we're so invested in getting the word out, these teachings from God's word, these principles, and we are sort of slack. I'm slack on doing our fundraising. But Rudy, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'd like to say, Bob, it's been such a you've been such a blessing to me over the years. I was telling Leslie that I have been listening to you and following your teachings and the things that you've been doing for the Lord since about 93.
Oh, my. So we have been friends, Rudy, for a long, long time.
We have.
15 years.
And I was a teenager back then.
Oh, wow.
And have used a lot of the truth that you have been able to, the Lord's blessed you with from the Word to fight and battle a lot of the lies in college and likewise after the college years and wherever we encounter those things. So.
Mm. Wow. And now you have a beautiful family.
I do, and Leslie, it's Ezekiel.
That's right. I was trying to say Isaiah, and then I knew that wasn't right.
One of those Hebrew prophets.
Oh,
that's right.
He is so cute.
Ezekiel, wow.
And another one on the way.
Yeah, exactly. Another one on the way in August. So,
Congratulations, Rudy, on your family.
Thank you so much. Speaking of Ezekiel, as Leslie knows, I presented to the leaders and the elders of my church on Monday a presentation on the use and godliness of graphic imaging in the fight for life.
Oh, wow. So you're talking about the abortion photos that people like Ken and Joe Scott and others all around the country use to try to show people what abortion is all about, and at the abortion clinics to try to get moms to realize what they're about to do and to stop. So you presented that argument to the elders of your church?
I did.
Wow.
I did. And so it seemed to get a fairly good response. They were pretty, when you present truth, you know, with grace, it's basically up to you now to receive that. Mm. And so I also presented a proposal for them to get behind us on purchasing some signs and things like that.
This is so exciting. Rudy, are you in Indianapolis proper?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We are.
Do you get in touch with any of our BEL friends back there?
You know, I am not. I know that there've been a time where I think I might have had information on one of the guys.
Well,
there,
we have so many dear friends in the Indianapolis area, and among them, it's hard to name any of them without naming 50 of them. But David and Lisa King, they do a lot of organizing BEL events. They would definitely want to know if you're going to make an effort to protest at an abortion clinic, and there are people that they interact with that might want to help you out.
Oh, we'd love that, because we go to the 86th and Georgetown abortion mill regularly to pray, and we desire to now kind of step that up and to start doing some signage and hopefully save some lives.
Rudy, have you talked to Ken or Joe Scott?
No, Leslie was. I think Leslie either gave me, or you were going to give me some info, right, Leslie?
I think I copied you on an email, but I'll do it again. And we've been talking with another friend of a joint friend of all of ours, Andrew in Indianapolis.
Andrew Longman.
Looking for some radio opportunity for Rudy to get on air and spread the truth about the pro-life world to the city of Indianapolis. I guess that's a huge need there. So, Rudy, I just hope that comes together.
And Rudy, let me recommend that you pick Joe Scott's brain.
Okay.
Talk through with her, because she's one of the most successful in the nation on how to actually save the kids.
Mm.
Of course, every protest is important.
Yes.
So that there is a witness and a testimony, and these kids, even the ones who are killed, are not killed without even a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ability to save some of those kids, and then even some of the moms becoming Christians, which is such a joy,
and
to turn a real darkness and a curse into a great victory for the Lord. I suggest talking to Ken and Joe Scott, and then we have to get you in touch also with David and Lisa King.
Okay.
All right? Any last comment?
Two quick comments. Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9 is an interesting section of Scripture that I brought up to the church the other day. For one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I have seen with Christians getting involved with the pro-life battle which is the concept and the notion that this is something that Bob Enyart or Leslie Hanks is called to, but it's not something that I'm called to.
Oh, we had a great conversation about that at lunch, didn't we, Rudy?
Yeah, and Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9 utterly annihilates that notion.
Yeah, well, I just opened the Bible quickly to that section, and for example, God says, Son of Man, that's his term for Ezekiel, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. And so God's bringing them through and showing them how they will slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. They will slay them, and then they think they could come to the God's sanctuary. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And the last point I'll make, and it's a plug for Focus on the Strategy 2. We've purchased 40 of these so far, and we are faithfully giving these away to help educate the body of Christ. And so I would encourage any of your listeners to grab hold of that idea and to purchase a handful of those and prayerfully give those to people who might have an ear to listen.
Wow. Thank you so much, Rudy. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Say hi to the family, Rudy.
God bless you.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thanks.
All right. So, and also in Ezekiel chapter 8, God said to Ezekiel, have you seen this, Ezekiel? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, and God goes on to say, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. And he gets angry because people think they could slaughter the innocent or just ignore it, and that's it.
Just ignore it. That is just so what's going on right now, isn't it, Bob? People just think it's a statistic. It's a vague notion to them that abortion is legal, but they don't think about that it is individual little preborn babies whose arms and legs are being ripped off on a daily basis.
Right, exactly. Leslie, I was hoping we could do a couple headlines now, but just for that report again, that Ron Paul has retained his seat in American Right to Life and Bob Enyart Live, and hopefully Christians everywhere will warn their friends who have been seduced by the Libertarian Party lie or Ron Paul's Federal Tolerance of Abortion Act, that he is pro-choice state by state. He believes that the federal government should tolerate it if the states kill unborn children, if they authorize the killing of unborn children. And that's just so despicable.
It is. It's so shocking to me, because I would think, since he really prides himself on being a constitutional expert, that he'd have a better clue. But
yeah, for him to say there's nothing... Ron Paul says there's not one word in the Constitution that has anything to do with abortion. Oh, really? How about equal protection? How about you can't deprive any person of life or liberty unless they're convicted of a capital crime? The states can't just authorize killing people. And for him to say that, and that these rights are secured to ourselves and our posterity, and he believes the child is a person, and he says the federal government is tolerant of abortion in the states, it's just wicked. It's another pro-choice view by a politician who wants to get votes and campaign financing. And so he's picked a way that he thinks will minimize his opposition.
And, you know, Barack Obama, in his horrible comments about regretting that he supposedly, quote-unquote, helped in the Terry situation.
Right.
He made Terry Schidler, in that comment that he's a constitutional scholar. This is just incredible to me that we have people that claim they have a grasp on the Constitution and they're so far gone.
Right. The states have the right to euthanize the elderly, the sick, the unloved, the unwanted. They have the right to authorize the killing of children. This is, and even with homosexual marriage and with civil unions, George W. Bush saying the states should decide if they want to have civil unions. He says, homosexuals should have the right to have these civil unions, same-sex, you know, marriage light, if the states decide. That's the new con. It's the new scam. It's the new way of being apathetic officially. It's like being personally pro-life. If you're personally pro-life, you are officially pro-choice. Ron Paul is a federal official, and he says the federal government should be tolerant of abortion at the state level. We have nothing we can say about it. It's despicable.
Well, that's just wrong.
It's just wrong. So, and I wonder if the people who've been supporting Ron Paul, the pro-life activists, do they think that, like, all the governments of the world should have the same policy, that the government in Germany should say, we're against abortion, but all of our 19 states, they could all make up their own minds. And the Soviet Union say, we're against abortion, but all of our provinces, they can decide for themselves.
Well, of course not.
And Ireland and Brazil and Mexico say, all of our states, and Chihuahua, if they want to kill kids, that's up to them, but we're against abortion. I mean, what insanity, for what reason?
Well, the 10th Amendment, they all get hepped up about that, but, you know.
Yeah, that anything not explicitly, any power not explicitly given to the federal government is retained by the states. And so the states do not have the authority to decriminalize murder.
They don't. But I think people are so over the federal government's overarching power reach they're desperate.
It's reactionary.
It is.
The same people, if it was the opposite, and the states had most of the power, and the states had abortion, the same people would be whining that the federal government should have the power. Because it's just reactionary. It's just changing. Whatever we have, I don't like it. I'm a reactionary. I don't actually think carefully. I just react.
That's a good point.
And Ron Paul is a populist. He says things that gets a lot of people who don't think clearly about God's principles all excited that somehow the Libertarian Party is going to take over. Oh, great. And then we're going to have abortion everywhere because they're officially pro-abortion at every level.
Mm-hmm.
The Libertarian Party is pro-abortion at the federal and the state level. And how about the states, Leslie? I'm not picking on you, am I? How about the states? I mean, could the Colorado government say this is a local issue and we, the governor and the legislature, we're pro-life, but it's up to Boulder and Denver whether they kill kids?
No.
It's a local? That's what Ron Paul says. He says these difficult issues should be decided at the local level. What kind of garbage is that? We're talking about murder.
That's
murder,
right.
Killing Jews, lynching blacks, raping women. These are the issues that are going to be decided at the local level. That is inane, and anyone who says they're a libertarian, they don't have a sense for morality and authority and righteousness. They are groping in the dark because they believe the libertarian lie.
Yeah, but they're groping so hard, Bob, because there's such a void out there for the right
leadership.
Kind of good leadership.
Leadership,
yeah.
Authority, teaching, which what has National Right to Life done to teach people about godly principles of governance in the last 30 years? What is that symbol?
Zero.
Oh, that's a zero. Yeah, nothing. They've done absolutely nothing. The Libertarian Party spreads the secular humanist lie that authority flows uphill from the individual upward. That's a lie. Authority flows downhill from God through governing officials to parents to children. Children don't give their parents authority over the church. That's just not the way it is. The Apostle Paul, when he went to Corinth, were the Christians in Corinth going to vote whether the Apostle Paul had any authority as an apostle? Of course not.
But, you know, I think we talked about this in church one time, that it's the consent of the governed language that remember where that comes from,
yeah,
but that's getting folks confused.
Oh, yeah, the Declaration of Independence. This is a humanist philosophy, that the governed have the right to choose their leaders. And so that leaves you with this question, well, what should the form of government be? But it is simply unbiblical to say that authority flows uphill. That was a humanist notion of the Enlightenment that our founding fathers somewhat held their nose, but they bought into it. And Thomas Jefferson was a hardcore liberal. He's a liberal. He hated Jesus Christ. Thomas Jefferson hated Jesus Christ. He did his. Do you remember the Jefferson Bible?
Yeah, he ripped everything out that referred to Jesus, right?
Right. He kept the sayings that he liked, but anything referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Creator, dying for our sins, he ripped all of that out. So he remade the Bible in his own image.
There's a warning in the Bible someplace about doing that, isn't there, Bob?
And he actually did it literally ripping the pages out of the Bible that he disagreed with. And he made his own. You could get one, a Jefferson Bible. So, and we follow his Enlightenment humanist ideas, which lead to, since Jesus said the majority are on their way to hell, and the majority are in rebellion against God, the majority want to steal and fornicate and murder and lie, then those things have all been mostly decriminalized.
That's so sad to say is true, and we see the fallout of the broken relationships and bodies and everything falling all around us. So.
Yeah. All right, so Leslie, how about a few headlines?
All right.
This first one comes from Chicago, and it cracks me up. The city of Chicago is considering a ban on plastic baggies, the little kind. Have you ever seen the little ones?
Little Ziplocs? Yeah.
Little Ziplocs.
You use them for, like, bead making and a variety
crafts,
of
arts
things.
Arts and crafts.
Sure.
And, right, for a thousand things. So the city of Chicago, at least one of their aldermen, a city council member, wants to ban these things. And I think it would come to nothing, except I think Chicago is famous for banning really stupid things. But because what? Drug dealers also use those little baggies.
This is Alderman Robert Fioretti from the second. I don't know what they call their political subdivisions back there, but anyway.
Yeah.
It's a crazy notion that you're going to put all those items out of use because some people like to use them incorrectly.
Oh, yeah. And I recall reporting from 10 years ago and 15 years ago, like Rudy said, he watched the show back in 1995. 93, he said. We went on the air in 1991. That's when we started, 17 years ago. And I remember, I think these examples all come from Chicago. I remember that they banned, these are all things they banned or they tried to ban, and I think they succeeded on, spray paint.
Now, I'm from Chicago, so let's not diss my former city. No.
Okay. Actually, we do. We love Chicago. It's a beautiful place
to go.
It's
a fun place to visit in
but
the summer.
It's run by liberals and they're imbeciles. I think they banned spray paint, and now you have to smuggle spray paint, like contraband, into the city. I think they banned super soakers. I think they banned silly string. What do you call that stuff? Crazy?
Silly string. They spray that at us when we protest the
silly
Komen.
Silly string.
Komen marchers.
Oh, all right. That's right. The March for the Cure.
Race for the Cure.
Abortion is a leading factor of breast cancer, and they don't want to hear it. They also banned, if I recall, it was either Chicago or Detroit, they banned renting first-floor apartments in tenements. I remember reporting on this story because a first grader was walking to school, and someone in a first-floor apartment opened a window, took a gun, and shot and killed the kid. Tragic crime. And so what is a liberal to do? They banned renting first floor apartments. That's what they did. I mean, these people are blithering idiots.
That was probably Cabrini Green, one of those wonderful projects that the federal government gave people, and it just turned into a crime infested pit.
Right. I mean, it's so ignorant. The ignorance is just stifling. And so what is a liberal to do? I mean, liberals who think you shouldn't spank your kids. Then their kids grow up, and by the time they're 13, they realize they could do what they want, and so they don't want to go to bed. In fact, they want to go out with their friends.
All night.
All night. And what is a liberal to do? We used to do this on the show. I'd ask liberals, what are you going to do? Oh, I'll lock them in their room. Well, what do you do when they open the window and climb out the window? Oh, I'll nail the window shut. What do you do when they break the window? I mean, they just are, what is a liberal to do?
Well, you just keep creating more and more and more laws, and nobody follows them, so.
Right, exactly. So
this law seems like it's a little misguided.
Yeah, a little misguided. It is funny. That sounds like a doll, little misguided. okay, so then what's the next story out of Israel? Now, this is an interesting one, I think.
Moses was high on drugs?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There is a psychology professor who was on Israeli radio this week, and I find what he said fascinating. He's with the Hebrew University at Jerusalem, and he said about Moses, he said he thinks Moses was high on drugs, and that's why he thought he saw the burning bush, and he heard voices, right?
Right.
Now, okay, so he's not a believer. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe that the Hebrew scriptures were inspired by God, that Abraham had a covenant with God. He doesn't believe any of that. But I find one fascinating thing in his comments. He said, as far as Moses is concerned on Mount Sinai,
right,
the Ten Commandments, he said it was either a supernatural event, which
cosmic event.
Yeah, which I don't believe. He said he doesn't believe in a supernatural event, or a legend, which I don't believe, he said, either. Or Moses was on drugs. Okay. So he said he was high on Mount Sinai. And so that's the one he chooses. But you know what I love out of this, Leslie?
What?
He says, I don't believe it was a legend.
Oh.
That is neat. Why not? Because there is a world filled with evidence for the story of the Bible.
That's right.
The story of the Bible is confirmed by archaeologists 1,000 times over. So if the story is true, then perhaps the moral of the story is true.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
And, of course, the Book of Mormon is a make-believe fiction. So archaeologists have not confirmed the details of the Book of Mormon 1,000 times over, like they have the Bible, God's Word. So I'd like people listening to realize that the story of the Bible is confirmed by archaeologists 1,000 times over. That's why this professor at Hebrew University, even though he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe the stories in the Old Testament are legend because there's so much evidence for so many of them. That's pretty cool.
That is.
Leslie Hanks, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. And your friend Rudy, wow, gave $1,000 to BEL. Thank you, Rudy. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. Maranatha and our website, kgov.com.